Thank you to those who are supporting us on Patreon. Haley K., Claire G., Mina K., and Nick Haynes of the Sketchy Nonsense Podcast. Like our show and want to help support it? Go ahead and pledge a monthly amount on our Patreon. Patreon.com/Top Rope Chef. Thanks.
We're cooking up some recipes, gonna give them a spin. If you're messing with Top Rope Chefs, you can never win. Woo! We'll be leaving you in the kitchen, wishing you were beaten, battered, and fried. And we'll be cooking up some main dishes, desserts, and yummy things on the side. Can you take the heat? 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 Can you take the heat?
Top Rope Chef.
Welcome to Top Rope Chef, the podcast about food and wrestling. We are cooking through Jim Ross, JR, WWE announcer's cookbook, Can You Take the Heat? Two recipes at a time. Talking about those recipes, talking about the wrestlers in these books. And talking about food in general and all sorts of weirdo, wacky stuff is going to be ahead of you. My name is Bradley Lordy Gordy Jones. With me, as always,
Jacqueline Romaine Recall Maynard.
You changed your name mid-conversation. I like it, though.
I thought about that because I don't know why. Something reminded me of lettuce because in front of me.
Yeah, romaine lettuce. Like, I guess it just kills you now. You can't ever eat it.
I think that's bullshit. I think we're just weak as a species. You can't handle a little bit of lettuce. Come on. Make it through. Wash your food.
It's because, like, what, lettuce is mostly water? That's, like, the big problem with what's going on here. Like, it spreads through the water.
Oh, I thought it was spread through your
poop. So, like, the more, like, watery a vegetable is, like, how, like, the bean sprout outbreak happened, those things are, like, all water.
What about...
It's, like, more likely to be...
I haven't heard about celery outbreaks.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know. Maybe they're different, but... I haven't. There's probably are celery outbreaks. I bet there's E. coli outbreaks for every you know, vegetable.
You think human flesh?
Probably. Wasn't there when I was growing up, like Burger King and Jack in the Box maybe had like E. coli outbreaks?
Mad cow?
I think it was E. coli, but oh. I could be wrong. Is E. coli not in meat? I thought it was.
Salmonella is usually the meat one.
That's in the chicken, right?
Yeah. E. coli bad is chicken. Like poop virus.
Yeah, I think there was like. Somebody had a bunch of fecal matter inside some cow's meat and then got out into the public.
Is it because somebody who worked at Burger King pooped in the meat?
I think it was from an aminal, but let me type in Jack in the Box E. coli into Google. Yeah, outbreak that happened in 1993. 732 people were infected with E. coli, originating from contaminated beef patties.
Listeners, this is a podcast where Brad and I talk about pandemics and then search them on Google and report back to you. If you'd like us to research one of your favorite pandemics, email us at topropechef@gmail.com.
Jacqueline is always working and I love it. Let's get this show on the road. What are you drinking today, Jacqueline?
I got three drinks today, Brad. While we were setting up...
That's exciting.
I was finishing off... My Orlando Lakes. I was looking at yours.
Oh, yeah. That is the cocoa that everyone tells me to try.
Yeah. If you don't like this, then you really don't like cocoa, and that would be sad.
Okay. I'll have to get that one. I've seen it at my local grocery store.
It's like 55 cents. It's so cheap. I tried the French vanilla today, and it was amazing. And then I tried it with some eggnog in it instead of milk, and it was amazing. But I'm also drinking red wine left over from one of our dishes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I got some organic New Orleans red wine. It's really good. I like a Cabernet.
I put the actual cooking wine into my cooking stuff. I don't break open a whole bottle. I just have like those plastic bottles of cooking wine at the ready for me.
Like little juice box looking ones?
They kind of look like hot sauce bottles or vinegar bottles. Oh, yeah. But they say cooking wine on them. What's the third drink?
Oh, it's a palate cleanser. It's water with a tea bag in it. What tea?
Is it hot or is it cold?
No, it's cold. Oh, it's gingerbread tea. I like to put a cold tea bag in a big bunch of water. Give it a little flavor without any sweet.
That's kind of fun. I would just make hot tea and chill it out. And speaking of tea, that's what I have today.
Ho ho!
Because I didn't go out to get a beer. It's just something I didn't do. I forgot that this was even a thing that we did on the show. So in my fridge, I had just made earlier today the Celestial Seasonings. Not a sponsor, should be a sponsor.
Really?
sangria tea.
Ooh, the red. Well, wait, sangria is red.
Yeah. And it is great.
I think that would be good to add into like a pumpkin bisque.
It's got a lovely aftertaste to it.
Yeah. That's another very one fruity that we've done. Oh, in the summer, husband made a lemonade like from lemons, and he put one of those sangria tea bags in it and let it steep overnight. So it was like sun tea and lemonade. So good.
Yeah, it's delicious. This is some really nice tea.
Celestial Seasonings should be a sponsor of the podcast. We drink that every episode. Every single one. I just bought 4 boxes of their tea because their Christmas ones are out.
There's some people around the country that I'm friends with, and like I'll sometimes send them gift baskets, and I'll always include something from Celestial Seasonings in there.
That's great.
Because you can't get a lot of their stuff everywhere. They have select markets, and like the watermelon tea, I can't find in every store. The sangria tea, I can't find in every store.
Have you gotten any Christmas ones?
I've got the gingerbread one, and it's quite good.
Have you tried the Nutcracker Sweet? That's my favorite.
I haven't, but I will keep my eyes peeled.
Oh my god.
I also like, I think I've had the peppermint one too, and boy, do I like some peppermint.
Yeah, that one's real good. I have the sugar plum. I like to steep that one in cold water.
Yeah, that's the one I'm looking for, is the sugar plum this year. I like a plum.
Yeah, plums are great. They get a bad rap because they help you poop, but so does all fruit. So.
Yeah, sometimes you can never know. We've talked about that on the show. We never know if you can get a bad plum or a good plum sometimes.
That's true.
They can really get you.
I like plum like spice cake and pierogies. Plum pierogies.
I bought some plum jelly that I haven't had haven't used yet, but I'm sure it's awesome.
You should try it live on air.
A spoonful of plum jelly.
You should do a blindfold test. We'll do that when we end up together again. We'll blindfold you with all these different jams, and you have to guess the flavor.
No, I think that would be easier than most things to guess, I feel.
Yes, you're probably right.
I could probably figure out flavors, unless it's like a mix of something. You're like a mixed berry. It's like, oh, name the 3 berries in there. It's like, oh, okay, well,
They've got some weird ones, though, some jellies and jams. I saw a champagne one. You think you could guess that?
I think I could if I knew it was an option. If I just got it blindfolded, I would probably get like grape or something. I'd probably get like close to it.
Yeah, yeah. You talk about our week in food, or is that after?
That's in the after show.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we've done 30 of those we've done more than 30. Jacqueline's first day on the job here today.
I keep saying,
take it easy on our people.
I also keep saying live on air, and none of this is live. This is like 6 months out.
Live to tape? That's a
live
thing.
Live to tape? Oh.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to add that to my resume.
Let's get into the first recipe today. I suggest we do Tony Guerrero's vegetables and wine over rice.
I have no problem with that. I'd like to read it.
Okay.
But I can do it after you talk about Tony Guerrero.
Oh, sure. I thought you were just throwing a wrench in the format. I thought that'd be fun. I was going to give you like my rating right now, just to like really throw the wrench in the format.
Oh, boy.
Tony Guerrero is a New Zealander from Auckland. I guess that's just like a big city in New Zealand. That's where a lot of the bushwhackers are from.
I think it's the capital.
Is it?
Yeah.
I have no idea.
That's where the Flight of the Conchords are from, too.
I feel like everybody must be from there then. I don't know.
Lucy Lawless, I bet, is from somewhere else.
It's probably the most populated city.
Let's go and find out.
I don't know. We're going to do a show on the road in Auckland, New Zealand. Our guests today are the bushwhackers. They're definitely going to force feed you lamb, because that's like all that's there in New Zealand, Jacqueline.
Oh, they just used it for wool.
No, no.
They have seafood. No. They're an island in the Pacific. I'll eat snails.
Okay, well. Tony Guerrero was in the WWF before it was the WWF. He's a old-timey guy. Both of these dudes are. Started wrestling in 1972, stopped wrestling in 86, retired, but he's been with the company since then, working as a road agent and behind the scenes. He must just be like a great guy to have around. That's all I can think about, Tony Guerrero. I see like nothing but good things about him.
Yeah. He's a muscular dude.
Oh, yeah.
He tag teamed with Scott Bakula?
Rick the Model Martel, who we found a photo of and looks like Scott Baio.
Scott Baio. I confuse those two every time. Yeah, he's not as tall as Andre the Giant. I learned that today.
We saw a photo of him next to Andre in some really nice shorts. If you want to Google those pants.
Yeah, he's...
I'd wear those to the beach.
Yeah, he's got the high-waisted game down. That's really popular now. He could make it work.
He just seems like a man's man. You look like he started off like in rugby and like transitioned into wrestling. He's just a classic dude. Classic old muscular man guy.
I feel like he's who the off-brand like wrestling action figures are based off of. Like he looks like every one of those.
That's a great example. You're right.
Yeah. That feathered hair. Yeah.
Yeah, he was a little, like, after my time. I was born 2 years before he retired, so I never got to see him wrestle in anything.
Mm-mm.
I think maybe 88 or 89 was, like, the earliest I ever saw wrestling as a kid.
Yeah, but it...
I've definitely gone back to seeing some older 70s matches and things, but...
Yeah, that's not for me. There's not the showmanship of the 80s. Maybe I'm thinking of the 90s.
Oh.
Early 90s is what I'm thinking of.
Yeah, well, yeah, late 80s, early 90s when everybody was an action figure.
Yeah, that's...
Speaking of which.
That's my era. Mm-hmm. Never saw this guy. I guess he wrestled in 2010, though.
Yeah, he had a match, or he was on the outside of a lumberjack match as one of the lumberjacks. Jacqueline, what is a lumberjack match?
A lumberjack match is when you wear flannel and you fight.
That is incorrect.
Aww, really? I looked it up, and I thought that's what it said.
No, I can't tell if you're joking or not. This is awkward.
I am not joking.
Mick Foley would be like the lumberjack guy, I guess, in that case.
I saw a picture of X-Pac at a lumberjack match, and he was wearing flannel.
Oh, boy. A lumberjack match is when two wrestlers have been usually fighting all over the... Like, they fight outside, they get counted out, they fight in the arena. Like, these two people just can't keep it together in the ring. So, what they have to do is set up a lumberjack match, where they surround the ring with other wrestlers. And if the two wrestlers at any point get thrown outside the ring, those other wrestlers' job is to put them back into the
ring.
But
they beat them up a ton first.
Yes.
I've seen these.
Particularly if they're, like, good. Like, there's always a bad guy side and a good guy side in a lumberjack match. And, like, when one goes to the other ones, like, get beat up. And ultimately, the people on the outside can't control themselves, and it just, like, ends up being a big ruckus, and everyone just beating each other up.
It's a total melee outside the ring. Don't they pull them out, too? They'll, like, grab their ankles and pull them through when the ref is
Some bad guys will pull out some good guys and beat them up. That's a classic thing that happens in those matches.
Yeah, those are fun. I really thought that they wore flannel, though.
I don't know where that's coming from.
I saw a picture of X-Pac. X-Pac ruined something else yet again. Oh, he's on the page.
He might be ruining a recipe later in this book, but
definitely.
Is this recipe ruined
Let's
at all by the food inside of it?
Let's get into it. Tony Gurria's Vegetables and Wine Over Rice.
I'm introducing the caller to my right from Auckland, New Zealand, weighing 240 pounds. It is Tony Gurria.
Auckland, New Zealand's contribution to the World Wrestling Federation has enjoyed fine cuisine all over the world and offers this delectable dish for your enjoyment. Tony, a former Federation Tag Team Champion and current road agent, is one of the healthiest eaters around and still trains regularly even though he has been retired from in-ring competition for years. Tony has been known to entertain his lady friends with a romantic home-cooked meal, and this delicious, healthful dish is often a part of the presentation. It's good, it's healthful, it's easy to prepare. Go for it! The ingredients are 1 tablespoon of olive oil, 1 tablespoon of butter, 1 large onion sliced, 1 green bell pepper chopped into large pieces, 10 medium mushrooms sliced, 1 medium eggplant cubed, 1 14-ounce can of beef or vegetable broth, 1/2 teaspoon of salt, 1 tablespoon of soy sauce, 2 tablespoons of cornstarch, 2 tablespoons of water, 1/2 a cup of red wine, 3 tomatoes peeled and cut into sixths, and 3 cups of hot cooked rice. 4 steps in this recipe. Step 1. In a large frying pan, heat the olive oil and butter. Add the onion, pepper, mushrooms, and eggplant and sauté until the onion is translucent, about 10 minutes. Step 2. Add the broth, salt, and soy sauce. Simmer for 5 minutes. Step 3. In a small bowl, blend the cornstarch and water. Stir it into the vegetable mixture. Add the red wine and tomatoes. Simmer about 10 minutes more until the mixture thickens. Season to taste. Step 4. Serve over rice. Garlic bread goes well on the side. Make 6 servings. Bradley, the squash lord of the gourd. What did you think about this?
I like lord of the gourd. Why didn't we think of that at the start of the show?
I don't know.
I think this recipe tastes like an Asian dish that I get at Chinese restaurants. I don't know why I'm singing, but I'm singing it. And it's great. It's something I get called cashew chicken is what I usually get when I get Chinese food.
Yeah.
And this has everything but the cashews and the chicken in it, and the pepper. But it's pretty much that.
The cashews.
And I was kind of excited about this recipe because it takes you along a little bit. Specifically, it doesn't neglect the ingredients on the back of the actual cornstarch container, which says to mix with water. Yeah. In case you didn't read that, the recipe would have helped you out and told you to do it anyway.
Yeah, this seemed like a real recipe that humans have cooked more than, like, none. I mean, like,
4 good steps, too. Yeah. All solid.
Yeah, I was a little worried about the red wine because I've read a bunch of places that you should cook with white wine. And so I was apprehensive, and I only made half a batch, but it was really good. I made half a batch, and I still put a whole onion and a whole green pepper and stuff in. I was also pretty apprehensive.
I used white wine because I didn't have red wine.
Oh.
So it tasted great with white.
I'm going to do it again with white because I do want to try it. I was really nervous about the eggplant because I don't really care for eggplant, and cubing it seems really gross, but it actually wasn't that bad. I think I would still leave it out next time. I do want to...
I like eggplant in slices. That's like how I like to do it, but it was fine diced.
I want to try it with cashews in it, though. That's a really good idea.
Oh,
some
yeah.
Some protein. Oh, I did add garlic. I always add garlic. Should I just stop saying that?
Garlic does need to be added to it. Yeah. That's one of the first thing I had after I ate it. And also chili pepper. Chili peppers would be
Ooh.
Nice. Those little ones.
Yeah, like the dried ones.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Kind of a vegetarian dish, too, if you use the vegetable broth. How about
I
that?
I was really excited about that. I didn't have to leave anything out. I, like, did the recipe how it said.
Yeah.
I
think it's one of our first, like, great vegetarian dishes that we've done on the show.
It's definitely one of the only ones in this book.
Christian's eggplant parmigiana is the only one other one I could think of. But
and there was snow peas.
I guess it had cheese on it as well, but yeah.
Yeah, but yeah. No, this was solid. I'd make those little tweaks, but yeah.
I'd make those little tweaks as well.
Totally surprising.
One little twist that I put on it is there was another recipe where we had to make bacon. So I ended up sautéing all the vegetables in this recipe in the bacon grease.
Instead of butter or with the butter and olive oil?
Instead of butter. Yeah.
Yeah, that would be really good too.
Because I still want that bacon grease to go to waste if I'm cooking bacon.
Absolutely. And you want to eat bacon grease because it's bacon.
Mm-hmm. But I can make my own version of cashew chicken, which is incredible to me.
Yeah.
I just kind of started using cornstarch to make like gravy over Thanksgiving and whatnot. And I'm really enjoying using cornstarch to thicken up stuff.
You know, corn gets a bad rap. And cornstarch is just, I mean, it's really popular for a reason because it works the best for this kind of purpose.
It makes the liquid into like a gravy, a thicker, like it makes it from less watery to nice and thick.
Yeah. And I was worried too. I thought it was going to be too much and it was going to be like gelatin-y, but it wasn't. The proportions are pretty good. I doubled the vegetables again, but
there kept being a skin that I had to like scrape away from it. But other than that, it was fine. I'd kind of rather make this in a wok if I'm just going full on with the vegetable stuff. But
I feel like lean into the Chinese restaurant angle.
I agree.
Yeah. Really good. Ooh, you could do it with those little baby corns.
Ooh, I don't like those baby corns.
I don't either, but I like how they look.
They don't do anything for me.
Or maybe a red pepper, too. A red pepper and a green pepper.
Yeah, there's a lot of vegetables you can add. Put some carrots and peas in here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, go vegetable crazy if you want to.
Yeah, I'm gonna.
It was just nice being able to make that sauce with the the broth and the cornstarch and the soy sauce. It was great.
It was also nice not having to throw away a bunch of vegetables that you just bought.
What does that mean?
Because it tasted good. Was it the last one we did that was really gross?
Well, you bought some defunct pie crusts, so it wasn't the vegetables.
Oh, yeah, that was it. That's what I'm thinking of. Holding on to that. But this was good.
Kind of user error, but you know.
Strike against the book.
Jacqueline, what do you rate Tony Guerrero's vegetables and wine over rice?
I'm going to give it a 4.2. Brad.
Ooh, nice.
What do you rate Tony Guerrero's vegetables and wine over rice?
4 stars.
All right.
Would have got up to the 5-star if it had those extra tweaks.
Yeah.
But either way, Tony Guerrero's vegetables and wine over rice. Welcome to the Top Rope Chef Hall of Fame. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back talking about Michael P.S. Hayes' potato skins.
And baby, what you're looking at is 250 pounds of twisted steel and sex appeal. Mama, I'm so doggone bad you think I'm unreal. Put it all together, and it's 740 pounds of Fantasia.
And we're back with the Lord of Gourds and me talking about Michael Hayes. Don't know who that is, and his potato skins, his P.S. potato skins. Now, P.S. is in quotation marks, so that makes me think that's a nickname?
I mean, it just stands for potato skins? Isn't it just potato, P, you know?
Oh.
Oh, no, his name is Michael P.S. Hayes.
Yeah.
I don't know why the P.S. comes after the potato skins.
I don't know, alliteration?
He makes it up, yeah.
So, what can you tell me about him? Because I can tell you that he's not Michael Cole. That's what I can tell you about him.
Michael P.S. Hayes is one of the greatest showmen in professional wrestling, Jacqueline.
That's a bold claim.
In the lines of like a Ric Flair or like I dare say Macho Man, dare put him in line with Rick Rude.
What? No.
Yes.
Absolutely not. Rick Rude had his own face on his own Jennies. There's no way.
And the reason you don't know a ton about him is because he didn't wrestle in the WWF until way later in his career, like 86. Before that, in the 70s, he was part of the 3-man tag team known as the Fabulous Freebirds.
Oh, boy.
Yep. Fabulous Freebirds were 3 dudes. I'm not sure what their names are. There might have been like some in and out of the Freebirds tag team. But it was 3 guys that were very flamboyant. They all wore giant capes. They would hop down to the ring, like do a little dance down to
like
the ring.
Like a shoulder dance?
Like a little shoulder dance. They sometimes have like cowboy hats and like long flowing hair.
Oh my God.
And they just looked like beautiful men. And they would, I think they maybe even like flap like birds. I could be wrong about that.
Oh my God.
But they invented something called the Freebird Rule, which was used in tag team wrestling, where even though they were a 3-man tag team, if they held the tag team championships, any of the 3 members could defend it. So it could just be like two guys a different night, then 2 guys a different night, and 1 guy would always be on the outside.
Oh.
It's what the New Day does in a current WWE product, where it's like you never know which two you're gonna fight.
Okay, I like that. I like the capes. You drew me in with capes. Huh.
Michael P.S. Hayes was sort of the front man of the whole group. I think maybe, if I don't know if you've seen it recently, but if you've watched the movie Highlander.
I have watched it recently.
Highlander starts with a wrestling match, and the wrestling match is the Freebirds versus some other group. And Michael P.S. Hayes is very much like front and centered. Like, you see him a lot, and like Duncan MacLeod is like watching him from the rafters as he does his stuff.
Oh my God. I do know who this guy is. Wow. Never would have thought Highlander would have came up in this podcast.
Yeah. That was the match that they chose to use in the start of Highlander.
Okay. I mean, okay. Okay. In this picture, he's just an announcer talking to Michael Cole's gelled head. And that's why I didn't know. And also, yeah, because I don't watch anything but WWF. Or I didn't.
Jacqueline, I sent you a photo that was in every girl's bedroom going up as as Michael PSAs. Can you describe to our listeners what you see in this photograph?
Oh, I'm upset. It's a man you wouldn't think built for nude photo shoots. He's got a beer belly and underdeveloped leg. He's got quite a farmer's tan on his feet. Those are pale feet and dark legs. He's got the Confederate flag draped over his ass and crotch and is doing like a sexy winky lean. He's got a lot of rings on and nothing else. That mullet is so distracting. He's a dark, hairy man, but this mullet is like yellow, like Gatorade yellow and long. It's really long. I'm not happy that I saw this.
Believe it or not, this man was a sex symbol in the South in the 70s and early 80s. Women went wild when the Freebirds came down, and they were into Michael P.S. Hayes.
This is like, it's like a spoof of Shawn Michaels, who's actually attractive. That mullet is dirty. It looks like a wig.
He had just a very unique style and put entertainment into wrestling. Like, the things he did physically and, like, his showmanship was just something that, it was like rock and roll inside a wrestling ring.
Do you think, or how many, I know this happened, how many boyfriends of people recreated that photo shoot for their partners, do you think?
Oh, boy.
Boyfriends and husbands? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to say in the hundreds.
Yes.
And then it took it to, like, an Arbor Drugs to get it developed.
Arbor Gross. Drugs reference. We're going real deep tonight.
Hey, this is vintage. All right.
Multiple time tag team champion, still works for WWE, is like a backstage role, setting, like doing a lot of producing of matches, and he's still around the product as of now. He's just been in the wrestling game since he started back in the early 70s or late 70s.
You think he's still got that satin Confederate flag?
Yeah, I'm sure he does. And I know he does have like wispy, terrible blonde hair stuff too.
Oh boy. Yikes. Mm. He's got that dark, like, just chin hair going on. It's like a little stripe along just your chin in the picture.
Mm-hmm.
That's upsetting.
The curtains do not match the drapes. Let me tell you.
Oh, no. Too much.
But do these potato skins match our appetites?
Oh, that was a great segue. 5 stars to that segue.
Michael Hayes's P.S. Potato Skins. I want to go to that place you don't want to be at. This ain't no home sweet home. It's a home sweet misery. We knew when we got here, they tried to put us away. But when they see us walk down the street, the other way. Backstreet Atlanta, GA. Backstreet in the whole USA. Backstreet, Nancy and I. Through the town of Blackie with the better ear guy. When not playing air guitar or telling fabulous Freebird stories, our friend Mike, a.k.a. Doc Hendricks, likes to put away the groceries. In addition to broadcasting, Michael works with young wrestlers behind the scenes on their in-ring maneuvers, promos, speaking on the microphone, and strategies. Michael also sweats more than anyone I know, but that's another story. And remember, old JR's rule of thumb, if it's a potato, it can't be bad.
Why is the sweat reference in a cookbook?
Oh. There are a couple ingredients in this recipe. Let me read them off to you. 6 medium potatoes, 3 chicken breasts, 4 strips turkey bacon, 3 scallions, white and green parts chopped, 1.5 cups shredded mixed mild and sharp cheddar cheeses, jalapeno peppers seeded and chopped to taste, 2 fresh tomatoes diced, low-fat sour cream to taste, fresh tomato salsa to taste. There are 6 steps in this recipe. Step 1, preheat the oven to 350 degrees. Step 2, prick the potatoes with a fork, wrap in foil, and bake for an hour. Slice them in half lengthwise and scoop out the insides. Discard the insides or save for another recipe. Leave the oven on. While the potatoes are baking, grill or sauté the chicken breasts until they are cooked through and cut them into strips. Step 4, cook the turkey bacon according to the directions on the package. Step 5, place the potato skins side down on a baking sheet. Divide the cooked chicken and bacon evenly onto the potato skins, then add the scallions, cheese, and peppers. Bake for 15 to 20 minutes or until the cheese melts. 6, top with tomatoes, sour cream, and salsa. Makes 4 servings. Jacqueline, what do you think of Michael Hayes' P.S. potato skins?
I mean, it's not bad. Jared was right. I mean, they're potato skins. I've had them at
apparently
like
12 potato skins is going to serve 4 people. That's a lot of skins.
I could eat those myself while watching probably 2 episodes of Bob's Burgers. I would have those done.
I think I got my potatoes a little too big. I should have got smaller ones because they took a lot longer to cook than.
Yeah, I got little bitsy ones. I like to get the Yukon Gold, so that's what I did for those, and that was fine. I think I might just rather have like all these toppings like on a whole potato and not just like the skin part.
This is kind of what it comes down to, is like, why are we taking the potatoes, like, why are we gutting them to put, I guess it like makes a nice little fold, you could fill it with stuff, but you can just put it on top of a potato and eat it, cut it open, or just cut open a potato and fill it up with this stuff.
And it's a lot less work. I'm real busy these days, and I'm real lazy, like my laziness is like, what's that word? Exponentially grown. So I would have rather just had like a baked potato with this stuff. But I mean, it was good. It was.
Yeah. How do you screw up all these? These ingredients are great. Like, you're not going to go wrong with anything here.
No. Yeah.
There's not a bad ingredient. There's nothing to be done wrong.
Instead of finding like a meatless substitute, I just didn't put meat on it and it was great.
Yeah, I didn't end up cooking the chicken breast because it just seemed like it was too much with what was going on in general.
Yeah.
It's like, I could probably know what it would taste with chicken on it. I don't really have to cook the chicken.
Right, exactly. The jalapenos is definitely a good call. I don't normally put those on, like, potatoes, but that was great.
You can do all sorts of stuff with potato skins. You can do, like, Mexican versions or Asian versions or... it's kind of up to you how wild you want to get with what you put in those potato skins.
Right.
They just kind of like, act like a... like a wrapper, you know?
Right. Yeah, I mean, they're fine.
They're fine. That's what I recommend cooking the vegetables real fast, sautéing them in the bacon grease like I did. But other than that, it's fine.
Just like because a flash fry.
I really just like had the heat still left on and just flash fried them, quickly took them out again, and they were great.
I did that for one of them. But the rest of them I just ate raw. I really like raw jalapeno peppers. I like that like burst you get. So I did them both. I prefer raw. But I mean, I melted the cheese. I'm not a psychopath.
Mm-hmm. I broiled it in the oven for like 5 minutes instead of cooking it for 15. Just, you know, just make it nice and hot and melty. Burn it up a little, nice and brown.
Did you light the pan on fire?
I did not. I don't. Light my pans on fire.
One of these days, Brad.
Liar, liar, pans on fire has not struck me down yet.
Wayo.
It's a lot of work, though.
Yeah.
I think it's too much work. A potato takes, I mean, Mitch Hedberg had a point. It's like, they just take forever to cook.
They do. And you can buy these almost exact potato skins in the freezer aisle at every grocery store.
I was almost thinking about doing like a side-by-side taste test of getting like a freezer potato skin and being like, am I gonna really know what the difference is, you know?
I mean, when you take the time factor into account, just get the frozen ones because you do nothing for those.
If you want to go really fun, the insides that you scooped out with the potato, mix in with all those ingredients that go in it, and do what's called a twice-baked potato, where you put those back into it and then cover it with cheese and just cook it all again.
Before I actually made this recipe, that's what I thought we were doing. And I was a little excited because I've never done that before. That still seems like a lot of work for me personally. But, yeah, I don't know. Potatoes. You can't go wrong with potatoes.
Mm-mm. No.
That's it.
That's it. That's all we got.
That's all I got for this.
Jeff, what do you rate Michael P.S. Hayes potato skins?
3.5.
Three and a half. I agree on the 3.5.
It's not stellar. It's not bad.
Too much work. It's great, but it really, like, there's got to be a quicker way to do everything, or just eat a potato and call it a day.
Yeah, Stone Cold used to eat raw potatoes.
Yeah, it's a thing. You can just go for it. Eat them like apples.
That's,
I feel like
it
hurt
gross,
my teeth.
But yeah, and it just says they don't taste good. I've had potatoes that I've undercooked, and they're not great. They're not soft.
Yeah, they're just not enjoyable. Hard to get through. Like, I'm a little mushy.
I like to take to make mashed potatoes, and I'll take like a mixer, like a handheld mixer, and whip them up that way with some butter. That's even faster than this.
What do you think of a potato au gratin? Did you ever have those growing up, or
those
scallop potatoes?
Scallop potatoes were my favorite. But I think it was really au gratin because it was full of cheese. And scallop potatoes are cream, right?
I'm not sure. Is that the difference?
I think so. The potatoes that I had were sliced in slices, and they were fried in butter and onions, and then added a little bit of milk and a bunch of cheese.
Yeah, that's great.
Right?
It's like the perfect side.
Yeah. I mean, throw some jalapenos on there if you're feeling spicy, but child me was not. What about you? What's your preferred
potato?
Oh,
yeah, we had potatoes au gratin. That was, like, great growing up. And we talk about it all the time, but instant potatoes are fine. Instant mashed potatoes, they taste great.
They do. Every time I'm sick, that's what I eat for days until I'm better. Just bowls.
They come out in, like, these little kernels of, like, oatmeal or something, and they just turn into potatoes somehow.
Yep. And they're fine. Don't be a priss about it. It's still a potato.
There's definitely some weird things that happened to potatoes in the 70s and 80s when TV dinners and stuff were coming out. People were just trying to figure out a way to get potatoes into boxes, you know?
Have you seen those, I want to say it was the 60s when, like, gelatin, like, Jell-O was invented and everybody was Jell-O-ing everything? I think we talked about this before, but there was, like, Jell-O, like, salad, like, iceberg lettuce salad and, like, hot dog casserole Jell-O. I bet somebody's done a potato Jell-O.
I feel like those recipes and those cookbooks were, like, just made for fun. It's like, we need to fill up 90 pages of this cookbook. We gotta sell some Jell-O. What kind of weird things can we tell people to make?
I bet people made it, though, because it probably looked, it was, like, fancy back then to, like, bring it to a party.
Yeah, I've definitely seen photos of a hand-drawn image of Jell-O sitting on a bed of lettuce. It's not.
No, iceberg lettuce. Mm-hmm. That's E. coli.
Potatoes are great. They'll never not be great.
Yep.
They classics are classics for a reason.
Oh, potato salad. I could eat just that for days. Some pickles in it.
Maybe that's what you can do. Yeah. You haven't eaten dinner yet today?
No, but I want to eat potatoes. I have instant mashed potatoes in a mason jar to make it look fancy.
You know, like for Christmas, how people give, you know, those the cookie in a jar. You can give people mashed potatoes in a jar. Like cut up like garlic or something. Or, I don't even know how you would do it, but.
Oh, guess what you're getting for Christmas? You might be the only person to actually use that present, Brad.
Yeah, I would definitely eat those. That sounds great. Potato bread? I was thinking of things that like don't even go with potatoes, and that was one, and then it still goes great. Potato bread tastes so good.
It is. I used to eat the middle of that. It's so soft. Oh, potato bread.
The only thing you can't potato is like dessert, I guess. And before we get into what a challenge could be, I just don't see it even possibly happening.
No, like on Thanksgiving, I had like mixed my food, like
a sweet potato. Sweet potato pie. Yeah, but like not like a potato pie.
Like a white potato. Like my cranberry relish touched my mashed potatoes, and I ate it. Like obviously, I ate it because I'm not a child. But I mean, that was fine. But I wouldn't like make that as a dessert per se.
Maybe like potato chips. You can do something.
Ooh, yeah, you can dip potato chips in chocolate. I've done that.
Oh, for sure. That would work out great.
That's really
31 best potato dessert recipes popped up on Pinterest.
That is 31?
Super Spud brownies, chocolate potato cookies, potato donuts. Actually, I would eat a potato donut. That sounds pretty good.
I would try that, yeah.
Potato scone. That sounds good. I'd try one of those.
That sounds savory.
Potato carrot muffin.
Okay.
Savory potato rosemary cupcake.
I would try that.
With Rosemary's cheddar frosting. Pattern. That's insane to me.
Wait, frosting? Wait. Is this a sweet thing or a savory thing? That sounds savory.
It says savory potato muffin.
Yeah, so there's no sugar in that.
It's blowing my mind right now that these madmen would even eat these things.
I'm going to make chocolate chip cookies with crushed up potato chips in them. That sounds good to me.
Plain potato chips, or are they going to be a flavor?
Plain. I want to do like a plain hearty potato chip, crush it up, mix it in with the chocolate chips, milk chocolate chips. Yeah, I think that'll be good.
Chocolate, quotation mark, chip cookies.
Ha! Genius, going in the cookbook.
Or it could be chocolate chip cookies. We'll figure it out.
Speaking of chips, so I have a little surprise. We're going to do a live on air. Wait, how did you say it? Live on air?
Live to tape.
Live to tape. So we have been talking about, I've been talking about me not getting enough protein since I've not been eating meat. So I got these chips. Now these chips have 20 grams of protein per bag. Who eats a whole bag? I do. But these chips, what does it say?
It says eat bugs on it.
Eat bugs.
Jacqueline, you have to get me these for the Annie Loves Chips podcast.
Oh,
you have to
I
get
did.
Get me a bag of these.
I already did. These are sriracha cricket chips. And I'm going to try them on air.
Oh, boy.
I've not tried these yet.
This is insane what's happening here.
Oh, they're so little. Look how little and cute they are.
I think I heard a chirp when you opened the bag up.
Definitely. So there is, they claim, one cricket per chip. Here we go. Tastes great. Ooh, it's so flaky and light. They taste like sriracha Cheez-Its. Those Cheez-It crackers?
Mm-hmm.
That's what they taste like. Wait. Oh, good. They're chia seeds. Okay. There's these little, I don't know if you can see, there's these little black flecks all over the chip.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was just big cricket pieces. I was not prepared to be doing that, but they're chia seeds.
I thought you saw like a leg or something sticking out of one. I don't know.
No, that would be funny. So I've technically eaten two crickets already. Mmm. These are really good. I'm excited to see what Andy thinks of these. On the back, they talk about that these are sustainable because, okay, for 1 pound of beef, how many gallons of water do you think it takes?
Ooh, for 1 pound of beef.
1 pound.
Are we feeding the cow its whole life? Is that what it's considering?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
And probably the grass and whatever to feed it.
I'll say 10,000 gallons of water.
Oh, wow. No, 2,000.
Oh, okay.
But it's in red. Unsustainable.
I overshot it.
Yeah.
I was thinking 1,000 was too low, and I overshot it.
Well, they don't, like, grow to old age when they harvest them.
That's true.
Now, for a pound of soy, how many gallons of water do you think?
Oh, I think it would be more, because it's most made in water. Maybe it is less, because it's not constantly having it every day.
I'll say
500 gallons.
216. You're making these numbers a lot less shocking. All right. For 1 pound of crickets.
I'll say a half gallon of water.
1 gallon. Damn it.
I did that on purpose, so it would seem like it was more. I was going to guess a gallon, but I was like, if it is a gallon, I want to go lower. So it's shocking that it's a gallon
okay.
of water.
Well, yeah. Pretty interesting stuff, though.
Andy Loves Chips, the podcast where Andy and I review potato chips. Andy Hubert, Andy Moldenhauer, and myself from the What Remember podcast have another podcast where we just talk about potato chips. It's a fun time. It's almost like a radio show. There's a lot of fun, like, sound effects. We play kind of heightened versions of each other. And if you're a fan of potato chips and comedy, I recommend checking out Andy Loves Chips. It'll be andylovechips.com by the time this podcast comes out.
It's my favorite podcast, and also Ric Flair's.
Woo! Enough about that podcast. Find this podcast at anywhere, topropechef.com. If you have comments about anything potato related, anything in the vegetable category related, or wrestling, email us, topropechef@gmail.com. We will read stuff on our after show, and we want to hear from you. And if you want to go above and beyond, please give us a monthly donation on patreon.com, patreon.com/topropechef. You can get access to some episodes you can't get on this normal feed. We're going to put it... We're going to be making every recipe in this book. Several of them are Jim Ross recipes that we're not going to do on the main show. You can only find them on there. So if you're a completionist, that's where you're going to find them. Top Rope Chef. Patreon.com/Top Rope Chef.
You got it, Brad. Bye.
Bye.